Last week, Gary Ellis was talking about the value of extended service agreements. This week, Gary's going to rejoin us and talk to us about five reasons why your techs should be selling service agreements.
All right, so back at the whiteboard studio, a couple of things. So you got three categories of benefits. Win, win, win. How does the technician win? Well, first off, there's a slow season in most of our HVAC businesses. Not so much in plumbing, not so much in electrical. You know, people flush their toilets and have clogged drains really no matter what time of year it is, and it doesn't matter if it's 100 degrees outside or, you know, minus 20. Although pipes might break more frequently, so from a plumbing point of view, cold weather and rain sometimes does help us. But the seasonality isn't quite as dramatic. My plumbing business runs at about 8.33% per month. My HVAC business doesn't operate that way, and I've been doing the consulting thing for over 20 years now, and so there's this giant set of waves that occur. We have these peak seasons where it's pretty hard not to sell something, and then we've got slow seasons or shoulder seasons where it's difficult. So the slow season is of primary concern to me when you start learning how to communicate and sell service agreements to a larger degree. That builds the ability for my company to be able to place you in the home and pay your payroll and not worry about having cash flow in order to make payroll in the slow season. So I don't have to send you home or furlough you, or I don't have to have you build sheet metal or sweep floors or paint the building or do whatever it is that we do in order to keep you in payroll. The other thing is then I can have you become productive. We can extend the teaching process to you regarding accessories, indoor air quality, whole house services, those types of things. Second, the opportunity is there for you to be able to educate a client on lots of different things. So humidification, filtration systems, you know, introduction of outside air, just basic air quality type principles, repair versus replace systems. Some of you guys are cross-marketing the plumbing and electrical services like we do. Certainly that's part of our discussion. Insulation is one of our product and services. So there's lots of opportunities, but it's difficult for me to put you in a position to have an opportunity without having the agreement. Without the agreement, I have to market to the customer. And if there is no need because the weather pattern is not supportive, then there isn't consumption. So listen, if I just drank a gallon of water and you try to sell me a bottle of water, my answer is, I'm good. I'm good. I don't really need that. I appreciate that you're even giving me a discount for 25 cents for that Dasani bottle of water, but I'm good. Now, if I'm in a desert and I haven't had water for a couple days and you come to me with a bottle of water, I'll probably pay you whatever you want. So that's the real definition of the cycle of seasonality. So when I have that slow season, the opportunity doesn't really exist unless I actually have the agreement. That's the binding factor in the customer relationship. Third, I'd like to pay you well for this. So, you know, some companies, and I'm not going to name names, but they're a little cheap. The owner's a little cheap. They're not really paying well to create the service agreement. So I'd like to discuss this over here. So when you talk about the relationship marketing and cash flow, and you talk about repair versus replace and the business value, the average dollar amount of a service agreement, not including the service agreement price itself, is $650 back to the business. So why wouldn't I want to incent you well as a service technician to be able to be good at the sales and communication process and transact the service agreement? And the answer is, there is no good reason. So when I pay you low dollar amounts and that doesn't get your attention, what I'm doing is I'm actually shooting myself in the foot as a business owner over here from the standpoint of I'm not generating the service agreement. Each service agreement equals $650. So as a business owner, that's the way I need you to think. As a service manager, I need you to think that way as well. So what we do is we want to increase the pay plan and the incentive, and you can do that a lot of ways. I mean, you can create contests and you can create rewards, and you know, you just need to be able to understand that, you know, paying a guy $5 or $10 to sell a service agreement probably isn't enough to get his attention strong enough so he'll change his behavior patterns to become a dominant force in selling service agreements. And that's what I want you to think about. I don't want you to think about, well, I'm halfway successful and I'm paying pretty well. I want you to think about, how do I get to 1,000 service agreements per million? And then how do I get to 1,500 service agreements per million? And that's of the residential, replacement, service, and maintenance combined. That's that $1 million. Well, if you have 1,500 agreements per $1 million of residential business, you're going to find that your marketing expenses go down as well. The marketing expenses are going down, and that's making me happy as a business owner. I'm producing more of these, and that increases the business value. So why wouldn't I pay my technician a strong incentive to be good at the work? And the answer is, there is no good logic against it. There's greed, there's lack of awareness, there's a general uneducated, I don't really understand it. All of those I understand, I agree with, I'm empathetic towards that, but I don't understand the greed side. In other words, there's no good reason not to once you do understand the mathematics, the metrics, and the processes. The very best companies in the industry, and ones that have sold for, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars, but we've seen business transactions recently in the $80 million range, the $20 million range, certainly in the $6 to $10 million range. They all have a common characteristic. They all have a lot of service agreements, which proves to the buying entity that there are customers on the other end that will repeat so that they don't have to spend money to market. They know those customers are real, legitimate. They know they'll spend 67% more money, and they also know that there are probably opportunities to sell other product and services. So, pay the guys well. I want you to be paid well. I want you to expect to be paid well, and I want you to expect that you're going to be good at selling the service agreement. But you're going to have to engage. You're going to have to learn the product. You're going to have to learn how to talk to the client about that product. Client happiness. You know, I'm happy when my machine is working. I've got some sports cars, and I'm known to, you know, be a car guy, and I like fast cars and all that kind of stuff. And that's a terrible habit, by the way, but because I like to drive fast, those machines need to be well kept. Tires, alignment, machinery, tune-up, all that stuff needs to be done. Equipment on the mechanical side is no different. The difference is customers are out of sight, out of mind. They're brown goods. Well, client happiness is based on the principle that they have some benefits. Well, the benefits are communicated not just from the literature, but ultimately from the technician's ability to say, hey, this is a good idea, and here is why. They're not going to look at the literature and believe that if you don't believe it. So we're going to have you in your thinking pattern, in your belief system, in your expectations, attitudes, ultimately how you approach your behavior pattern. All of that has to come through you. The level of trust is going to be dictated by your enthusiasm. Let me repeat that. The level of trust that the client hears or feels is going to be created by your level of enthusiasm. You're the expert. They see you as the primary selling agent and trust agent. So if you're just handing them a piece of literature and expecting that to go over well, or you go over a video on the iPad, you know, which we have, that's going to do some justice to the product or service, but at the end of the day, the consumer is going to look to you and look at your body language. They're going to look at whether or not you are in a belief system. So if you truly believe that it's good for the client, that will come through. If you don't, that will also come through. Next on that list, security. Job security for you. The more service agreements I have, the more likelihood is I need to add labor. So you as a service technician are going to probably be primary in that. Most service technicians in my world don't love service agreements because they have to do the technical work. But most of those same guys also love the opportunity that it presents. Once they realize that it's not just about the technical work, that it's actually about client happiness, that they get to interface with those same clients again, they also have an opportunity to transact some other product and services. Their income goes up. They begin to see the linkage. In other words, this transaction isn't just good for the business, it's good for the technician because the technician is being paid well from whatever we produce off this $650 annually per agreement.